Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, and the words keep coming. They won't go away, they just keep coming.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Well, hello and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I hope you guys have had a good day. We had a heart-shaped pizza for dinner since we've been portioning and eating healthy. It's been a really long time since we've had a pizza. What a way to go down, right? A heart-shaped pizza toasted with a cream soda, something else I haven't had for a long time. So right about now, I'm feeling like a helium balloon. But in any case, I hope that your day has been filled with love, or you could spread some love. If you're new around here, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. For that, it takes a good bit of warrior. I'm your regular Wednesday host, Kim Justice. If you want to know more about me, you can check out my website at inaflash.org. And I'm fortunate that the second Wednesday of every month, I have a wonderful, talented co-host, Karen Robinson. You can find out more about Karen at hopetbi.com. So I'm going to bring Karen on in just 1 second. You know, normally, and we've done Valentine's shows before, we've talked about TBI and sex, always a lot of listeners with a title like that, a lot of other related topics for Valentine's Day. As it happens, our old friend Dr. Maria was on last week, and we talked about building quality relationships through building trust. So I had been thinking, I actually saw a bit of a documentary and then been seeing commercials. I have a really old cell phone. I have a 6S. Now, the reason, a couple reasons for that. One of them is it was the last cell phone they made with a jack so you could plug in earbuds. And I have a bunch of Bluetooth earbuds, but I don't like them. They fall out of your ear. I also heard that they have quite a bit of radiation. So I don't know. I'm not 12 anymore. I don't need the latest and greatest every year. It also shocked me when I did go in to get an upgrade pre-COVID, a few years back, there was a young man at the cash register, and I said, how much is, I think they were on 10 then. I said, how much is a 10? It was supposed to have a better camera. And he quoted me a monthly price. And I said, what is that? I said, no, I mean, how much is it? I was expecting it was something that you could buy. That day, anyway, was the first day that I became aware that they've groomed future generations to buy their phones and finance them the way they do a house or a car. You still have your monthly service fee that they won't let you just plunk down if you can afford it, $800, $1,000, buy the phone and walk out the door. It's a payment plan deal, which I personally, having been in financial services for about 25 years before I needed to retire because of my brain injury, I'm not for people getting into heavy-duty debt. Debt begets debt more and more if you get used to it. And so I said to the young man, so do you get an upgrade every year? Oh, yeah, I want it faster, bigger, better. Got to have the faster, bigger, better. I said, well, doesn't that get kind of expensive? I said, it's hard for me to wrap my head around making two payments over a phone that I'm only going to have a year when they make you sign a two-year contract, right? So anyway, he said, yes. You know, he has to forego some movies and shopping, whatever else he might want to do. He's got to forego a few of those things so that he can afford his double phone payment. Anyway, I left. I said, I don't need an upgrade now. If I can't buy it, I'm not financing it. And so I left, and I've kept my 6S, and I've had nice Bose buds that I plug in to my jack, and I've watched for how many models as the phones have been getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's more and more and more and more cell towers being built. And somewhere along the way, not, what, a couple years ago, the fact that we were going to 5G, bigger, better, faster, was a huge deal. So they were making the towers more powerful and the phones, the bigger they are, the more they can emit possibly damaging radiation. So anyway, those things, noticing how big the phones are getting, a lot of people I see have telephones that are almost as big as a tablet these days, and they keep going and they keep making them bigger and faster and putting more and more and more of these towers. You used to go to any provider, service provider, and look at their map, and it was kind of spotty. Now you look at the map for any given provider, and the map is almost all colored in. That's how much coverage with these towers there are. And I remembered about 12 or 13 years ago, back when there were just flip phones. I'm sure some of you, most of you are old enough to remember the early models before we started financing our phones, flip phone. And we did a show like this 12 years ago, and there were studies out at that time, and studies were being done at that time about if they were safe or not. And an article I read, and I'll get to that when I bring Karen on. I think what I'll probably do is bring her on, and then I'm going to probably read what I sent her and then shut up, let her talk a bit, and then I've got a bunch of notes. But anyway, we decided that tonight, aside from wishing y'all a happy Valentine's Day and love and appreciation from us, the hosts, and Brain Injury Radio, the channel, for your support, that since I did a relational show last week, this week we're going to address the RF radiation frequencies. I was trying to think of the other, sorry, I just had a blank, obviously, EMTs, EMFs, electromagnetic fields, or electromagnetic frequencies, and we were going to talk a little bit about that, and that was precipitated by an article I wrote, sent to Karen and asked her if she'd be interested. It was an article in The Hill. And when I read it, it smacked of the NFL scandal. You guys, a lot of you who are regulars, remember back when the movie Concussion came out, however many years ago that was, long, long time ago, when it was disclosed that a lot of studies were done about the safety of football and getting repeated concussions. And suddenly the voices dropped on that by, and more players were getting injured, too many to ignore anymore. And then they started getting degenerative brain diseases. More CTE was showing up. It wasn't just a concept they made up for a Will Smith movie. It was real. And real players were talking about it more and more. ALS, Parkinson's, other degenerative brain diseases that came from either the right, just the right concussion, or a culmination of repeated concussion to the head. And it was found that the NFL had studies decades old, 2-3 decades old, that had the truth. They had been buried. When you do enough studies and you're wanting to prove a certain thesis and it comes up that it doesn't prove it the way you wanted, but it's a different reality, and that's one that happens to hit a big organization, be it the government, the NFL, in the pocket, then suddenly information gets lost, and they quit talking about it. So studies on the harmful effects of repeated concussions had been around, again, for decades, then were buried. After much damage had been done, the truth surfaced. Why had it been buried? The results gave an unfavorable account of the magnitude of the damage of possibly incurring multiple or just the right blow to the head. Money, power, greed, Trump's health and safety. Sound familiar? Certainly not the first or the last time or the only scenario where this has been the motivation. The National Toxicology Program, NTP, of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences has quietly disclosed that it will stop studying the biological or environmental impacts of cell phone radio frequency radiation. The comment I made around Valentine's Day was not to rush to upgrade. That's a marketing cue. All the good reasons to upgrade to bigger and better. But to read the small print, which is actually there with your cell phone, but everybody's so excited to get in line and get that latest, greatest, biggest, fastest, and they know how to use their phone. So, I don't know, just like drugs, you know, you get 29 sheets of paper that talk about the side effects on your drugs, but most of us have trusted our doctor and people don't read it. And so a lot of people don't see the warnings that are on the side of the telephones. And of course, they don't give any warning about the cell towers, except that there is a sign around the cell towers or on the cell towers with a triangle and like a scary skeleton and a hash mark through it, but it doesn't say don't move next door to one of these or stand under it for a long time. So radio frequency, RF, and electromagnetic frequency, EMF, may literally change our DNA structure or cause various types of cancer, among other health issues. As we get bigger and stronger cells, the towers to power them, coupled with the other sources that provide them in concert, why would studies cease now? RN is a... already did that. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. I'll read you the article from The Hill that talks about the fact that they're going to quit studying the effects of the cell phones and the cell towers, and the fact that I found that curious, and a couple of stories that I read today about places where there's concentrated cell towers and the incidence of cancer has gone up in elementary schools. Some interesting stories around it if you look. But one thing that I will say is it's super controversial, whether you're reading an article, Googling it, or watching a YouTube, you've got parties arguing both points. One thing I encourage you to do is as they're arguing both points, if it's a YouTube, for example, look, and some of them were 12 years ago, and then some were one I watched was 6 months ago, 1 year ago. You know, there was a difference. Back then we had the 4G, not as powerful of phones. And there wasn't as many more years, you know, decade of research studies to be done. So look at the date. Also look at who is putting out the article or the information, and if they might have a financial interest or something to lose, if the narrative comes out a certain way. you know, it's really a landmine, a lot of the things that we're going to talk about. And so it is important. You can do your homework, but when you get a lot of conflicting answers, those are the kind of things you look at. Who's writing the piece? Do they have a financial interest or gain in the results coming out one way or the other? And then we'll talk a little bit about what can happen to your brain, since this is Brain Injury Radio in general. And with that, I want to wish her happy Valentine's Day. Karen's husband had to be out of town. Mine was here, but whether it's Valentine's Day or not, he goes to bed at the same time. Mel gets up at 5 in the morning, goes to bed about 8, 8:30, so I'm cleared to do the show almost any time. We ate our heart-shaped pizza, and he toddled off to bed. So I am going to bring on Karen. Karen, happy Valentine's Day. I almost said happy anniversary.
Well, that would still be correct because we are also celebrating our 23rd year anniversary, our, what we call our commitment anniversary. We have two anniversaries, our commitment, where we committed to each other and committed to being with each other long term, and then our wedding anniversary. So you were right. It's still an anniversary for us.
Oh, good. Happy anniversary. That's great. 23 years. And Valentine's Day.
And Valentine's Day on top of it.
Wow, how romantic.
I know, right?
And, and he had to be out of town, and in romantic, usually it goes the other way around. They used to say, you know, when they were talking about sexist and things like that, I got my husband a Bissell Little Green. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it's more romantic than another type of vacuum. Because he's the one that does that. It's a spot cleaner if you wanted to go over upholstery. I've gotten an idea lately that I want to... I've got back issues, and I've bought a couple new couches over the last several years and made mistakes. And newer furniture is built cheap. And if you're young and you don't have back issues or arthritic issues, you can probably get by. But the first couch I got was, we got a weird configuration in our living room, but the first couch I got looked great. But the back only came up to about your shoulder blades. And there's nothing, you know, to lean your head back on. So I have arthritis in my neck too, so it didn't wind up being comfortable even though it looked great and it fit the configuration better for our room. And then I forget what was wrong with the next one, but the one now has a recliner on either end and then seating space in the middle. And it's really too big for the configuration of our room. It makes the pass through to get back to the dining area behind the living room. It's one of those really long rooms. It almost closes it off. And now that I've had it for 4 or 5 years, which isn't that long, it feels like I'm laying in the metal brackets. It hurts when I've fallen asleep there or sat too long. It's been really uncomfortable. And so I started by buying a chair. It was leather, so I didn't have to do anything to that. But I've got a friend that enables me. My friend Becky from junior high and high school, only we didn't talk back then. We knew who each other was, but we weren't friends. Not that we weren't unfriends. We just didn't have a relationship, really, except that we knew each other. And then a couple of years ago, I don't know if we ran into each other or what we did, but found out we really have a lot in common. We both have multiple dogs and like to do rescue, and we both like certain styles of furniture. And Becky is a mad woman on Marketplace online, and I'm not. And she sends me either dogs or furniture a lot. And she sent me a chair that was really cool, and it was an antique, and the furniture was built so much more solid back then that, you know, it isn't press board, and if you get the right pieces. So I'm considering, and this chair, which has nothing to do with our topic at all or your anniversary, but anyway, I got Gary a romantic little green machine, because if you wanted to clean the upholstery, say you did buy a couch or a chair that was upholstery, I wouldn't really feel good about bringing used furniture in the house without it being clean. And we got a couple dogs, you know, they run through the mud and come in, so the rug in our den will have spots from time to time. So Gary was actually excited and thought it was quite romantic. He can't wait to rip into this little green and play with it like he does with the vacuums, for which I'm grateful. So you can't get much more romantic than a little green and a heart-shaped pizza and a cream soda. So we had a good day, and you guys can have your own anniversary and replay of Valentine's Day when your husband gets back from out of town.
Well, we had something kind of serendipity-ish that took place between us, which was kind of, you know, we got a kind of a chuckle out of it, was I had sent him 24 or two dozen roses of assorted colors to be delivered to where he was at, because he's out of state for work. And to be a surprise, he didn't know I was doing it. I didn't tell him anything about it. And then he had also, unbeknownst to me, sent me two dozen roses of assorted colors.
Oh.
And and delivered within an hour of each other in different states without either of us knowing we did that for the other person. And, you know, I said, well, I picked 24 roses because it represents one rose per year of our relationship plus one to grow on, because we'll be going into our 24th year. We're towards our 24th
year.
So, you know, one rose per year, you know, symbolizes so much. You know, you have the thorns, which is the sticky parts of life, are the parts that, you know, cause you pain. And then you have the growth and the beauty and the budding and the involvement of not just a relationship, but our children and life experiences and trauma and recovery and rehabilitation and, you know, just moving forward and not just surviving but thriving. And so it just all encompassed all of that for me. And so I really wanted to send him an assortment, because I wanted the assortment to reflect all the different things in our life that were beautiful, and that there were so many different things, not just one color, one thing. And so that was the reason for me sending him 2 dozen roses. And it was interesting when I got the knock at the door, my son said, "Close your eyes, Mom." I'm like, "Why?" And he goes, "Just close your eyes for a minute." And apparently he was in cahoots with my husband and was watching the door for me.
So you didn't think that your order came back? You didn't think, I thought you were going to say you thought your order came to you instead of him. Go on.
No, I wasn't expecting anything at all. I just wanted to surprise him because Rick is always doing so much for the family. I mean, and he's even working out of town right now just to support our family. And he had an opportunity to take a specific job for a specific length of time with his company. And, you know, we talked about it and he decided to go ahead and do that. But that being said, just the sacrifice he's making for our family and for, you know, the time away, and was so magnanimous to me of the level of devotion he has for not just me as his wife, but for our children and for our family as a whole. And I just wanted to give him a little bit of beauty and joy, and so he didn't feel so lonely and like he wasn't so isolated. Because he's been gone for a few weeks, and it's been challenging, to say the least. It's the longest we've been away from each other that I can consciously remember. And I say consciously remember because we were away from each other longer when I was in the hospital way back, it's been 10 years now, when I first had the accident, but I really don't recall a lot of that. So that's why I say consciously remember, because I'm acutely aware of how long we've been away from each other at this standpoint. But referencing back to the cell phone use, you know, there's a bittersweet relationship with technology. You know, the nice thing is that we can use the technology to be able to make our world a little bit smaller and connections a little bit deeper and keeping them fresh through like FaceTime or Zoom or video chatting, and being able to communicate with him with video makes it seem like it's not so so without him here, because I can see him and he can see me and we can communicate. The boys can communicate with their dad and, you know, they can still have that connection. You know, we can communicate with our daughter and our grandchildren, and even though they live in different states, you know. And so there is a beauty and a fascination for me with technology. However, at the same time, just like, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, you know, no good gift goes really unpunished either, because you have the increased challenges that are happening with technology and the studies that have been done, continue to be done. And this one study you're referencing where it's been instantly halted, and I know you're going to go into that more, but there's been all kinds of, just in the last 3 years, all kinds of reports released about cell phone use and possible carcinogenic issues specifically related to auditory and brain type tumors or issues or cancer type stuff coming out and becoming more prevalent. And so there is the downside or dirty side of cell phone use. And, you know, some of that epidemiologic research about low frequency fields or, you know, high frequency fields and just what that cell phone radiation might pose as risks to us. And, you know, all this evidence coming out that really warrants maybe even a stronger classification other than just the basic warnings that they put in small print at the bottom of those pages you were talking about. But that being said, we're kind of stuck where back in the day, I can say that because I'm old enough to use that line now. But back in the day,
yeah,
you know, we had
too.
flip phones, or those huge bag phones that were cell phones that were about as big as a nice size encyclopedia.
Shoebox.
And we thought we were so cool when we had those, you know. But we've gone from that all the way down to something that can you can literally wear on your wrist, you know, like when you're talking about Apple watches or different types of smart watches and things like that. But with the phones now, whether it's 4G, 5G, and, you know, those kinds of that kind of technology, it's been like this since the inception of cell phones. However, I've noticed it more with mine, with the type we use, is that if you don't upgrade your phone, you eventually will be forced out of using your phone efficiently. Because what happens, and what's happening with mine right now, I'm really loyal to a brand and loyal to a type of phone. I get comfortable with it, I think, because I get comfortable with how to use it. I know where everything is on it, and it's just simple for me, and I like things. And so when sometimes upgrading is a painful experience for me. So my husband, he's all about the latest and greatest. He's a tech and gadget guy. He really enjoys, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, let's just use it until it dies from not working, because this is working for me. It works fine. Why do I need to upgrade? But with the way they have cell phones now, when you have to do these updates, not just for the security features, but for the apps, and you have to update your apps so they'll work efficiently. And at some point, which is happening to my phone right now to some degree, is that pretty soon you go to update an app. Maybe it's to your financial institution or your medical provider or your car repair facility, whatever you're using an app for, and it'll say, I'm sorry, this app is not able to coordinate with your phone, or this app no longer supports the type of phone you have, or your device is not supported for this app, anything along those lines. So then you're forced to upgrade your phone to the latest and greatest, you know, for lack of better terminology, just so you can get the things that you've become accustomed to using, like alarms and planners and digital planners and things like that. You have to keep them, in order to keep using them, you have to upgrade your phone so you get that technology that now meets the demands of what the apps are requiring and what the phones are requiring. So it kind of puts you in a tough position, especially if you're depending on technology for your toolbox related to just life in general. And so, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I know that we use mostly, I would say, hands-free. For some reason, for me personally, easier to process information I'm hearing if it's not against my ear. And that goes for a landline or a cell phone. So being able to have it on speakerphone or being able to have it hands-free is really imperative for me specifically. I know when we're driving, we absolutely use a hands-free method, so we're not having that radiation just by legality alone near our face, head, body, et cetera. So the hands-free method is definitely better for us from not just a health perspective, but also a safety perspective. And so I find myself in a quandary and just kind of weighing the benefits versus the lack of benefits of utilizing a cell phone with all these changes that are coming out regarding radio frequencies and radiation being emitted and just what all that entails and how that, you know, may affect me, any potential heart issues or potential cancer development, just all these things, all these unknowns that we're being hit with as technology advances and more information is released to the public. So anyway, that's a very long-winded answer to come all the way back to the happy
roses.
And the roses.
I love the roses. I love the rose story. So were you, so we know your impetus, but when he did it, that was so serendipitous and romantic and cool and cute that you both must have been super shocked and then not so much and then got a laugh out of it together.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. He said, you know, I just know you don't really like red roses by themselves, which is true. I'm not fond of them. I mean, they're pretty, but that's never been one of my favorite flowers. He said, and I know you like different colored roses, and I wanted to do something different than carnations. Carnations is one of my favorite flowers. And so he says,
yeah,
something
they smell
a little
better.
Oh, yeah, they are. And they last longer. I really love them. But he said, I just wanted to do something that was a little, you know, a little more romantic. And so I thought that was very thoughtful.
Me too. I just love that story. That is very cool. And as far as the, yeah, I think I've probably had to quit. There's probably some upgrades. That app upgrade thing comes up all the time, but I think I'm probably beyond some of those upgrades and not getting them anymore, even on the phone I have. But then I've never gotten, like, I don't use the people I know. There's probably a lot of other machinations of this, but, you know, the people I admire, their technical prowess, but, you know, on my phone, I really don't have many apps. And I've got a ton of music on there, but other than that, I don't do anything that if anybody, I mean, what they would get out of my phone would be my phone book. I don't keep a calendar on there or a timer on there or have that many apps. So, you know, I pretty much use my phone like a phone. I do Google things or Safari things or whatever. But it's hard to see. And the only thing I don't like about speaker, I do that, but I feel more comfortable when I'm by myself using the speaker phone because, you know, Gary and I being on different schedules and us, oh, that's not really Craig, it's me. He must have, yeah, definitely. Anybody who comes into the chat, Craig is not in the house tonight. Not sure what he's doing, but I don't know. Well, I mean, he's the one who pays the bill, so he changed, obviously. He needed to be Craig and not just Brain Injury Radio, which is usually what comes up in the chat. And I realize some of you might be out doing something for Valentine's Day tonight, but the show will be on demand after we do it, and I'll make it the featured show in about a week, and people will have the it'll be at the top. People will have the opportunity to listen to it again. But, you know, people hear in my conversations, it's not that I'm saying anything wrong. It's just disturbing them we made our master bedroom our office when we moved into it. So we both have desks and computers in there. Now I can go in the other room and hit speaker, but otherwise, you know, all the years I was working, I wasn't in a room where I had to listen to someone else's phone calls. So I don't use speaker there. It does come through the speakers of my car. So like you say, that's hands-free. But kind of a laugh about what you said, when I got my car again, a kid, everybody seems like a kid to me these days, but a kid, so the one that sold me my car a couple years ago, was going through the features, and just like with the phone, it has more features than I need or want to know or can absorb and remember. Well, one of them is down where you'd normally throw your sunglasses, where I still do, or whatever you throw down in that little slot. There's a thing, a disc, and you're supposed to be able to throw your phone in there, and it'll charge your phone. And when I told him, I said, I've got a Mophie, which is, you know, that's a phone case that will completely recharge my phone. When I flip the switch, I can be down to whatever, 4%, and flip a switch on the back of my phone case, which makes it a little bit thicker, and it'll charge itself. So I would have to take my phone out of the Mophie to put it on that charging station, I think he called it. And when he found out what number phone I had, he said, he looked at me like I was an alien from out of outer space. It doesn't work. My car wouldn't accept a phone as old as mine to charge it. So it's a good thing I've got my case, you know. And for the earbuds, I've got some really nice buds that are Bluetooth buds. But the same lady, they're using these Geiger counters or whatever they're calling them, devices that measure the amount of radiation that something is emitting. There's lots of YouTube videos on that. And today a gal picked up, I mean, your routers, your computers. You know, one excuse, Elon Musk used it, and I've got a couple pet peeves, probably more than a couple, but a couple I can think of that always trigger, and that's that kind of thing that says there's radiation floating around from a lot of things. So what difference does it make, right, if we add another 12? I just think those are just, you know, ridiculous answers to things. Instead of figuring out how to make things better, to just use the excuse that, you know, radiation is floating around everywhere, from your router to your computer, to the cell phone towers out there. There was a thing on not long ago because of the car that no one can afford and most of us don't want. You know, the new smart car or whatever, there aren't enough of the things to charge them up. And I heard them talking about putting something in the roads as they replace the roads, and that would emit EMFs. And, you know, I'm acutely aware because I have an old, speaking of vintage, clip in my head from my brain surgery that I can never have an MRI. Since 1995, I was told I could never have an MRI again. A couple of years after, they changed to titanium or another kind of clip, but when I got my clip, I was told that's a big no, you know, magnetic fields or getting an MRI could dislodge that clip. The same is true with pacemakers and how many people out there, particularly as the boomers get older, are going to have pacemakers, or the people in here even, you know, the demographic of the people that listen to Brain Injury Radio, a lot of them like yourself were in accidents and they have metal in their bodies, you know, holding their bodies together. And, you know, any of these electromagnetic fields are dangerous. And I don't like the someone thinking that something is a good idea and not thinking that thought through of how it will impact or could impact negatively, be a public health hazard when they're trying to call it green, you know, or something like that, you know. Supposed to be better for the environment, and really it becomes a health hazard. And I saw a lot of that. But anyway, this lady held up her little case like those earbuds come in and ran the Geiger counter over it, and not even connected to a phone call or anything. They were just charged in their little case. The thing, and on hers, 20 or under was considered satisfactory or safe by government standards. And the thing zoomed up to over 1,000 just by her putting the thing close up to the case with the buds in it. Just the buds, not even the phone. Not even the phone on, just the buds. And so they did the same thing with a phone and with a microwave. And if you were standing, the further away you were, you know, if you went in your kitchen and wherever your microwave is, when in the next room, you know, that Geiger counter wouldn't really have much action, wouldn't really move, or maybe just a few degrees, unless when you backed out of the room, you backed up towards your router and your computer, then you might have a problem. Speaking of what you said earlier, you know, the conveniences versus the cost. But anyway, the closer the guy got to the microwave and just put it around the rim of the door, it went over the acceptable standards. And same thing with the cell phone. So the small print on the cell phone says that it shouldn't touch your body. And what we even heard when we did a show 12 years ago on flip phones and 4G, which wasn't as big and wasn't as fast and wasn't as fancy, is that if a guy wore, you know, put his phone in his pocket, that he might wind up having fertility issues in the future because carrying radiation next to your package can possibly change DNA, burn, or just change the way that functions. I don't really know any girls, but they did use it as an example, that put their, maybe if they don't carry a purse or something, tuck it in their bra, that those women were more apt to get breast cancer or lumps that would be breast cancer. And then these, putting it up to your ear, and I've done this way too much, even though I have earbuds, they're not always with me, and I try to go look for them, and I use them as much as possible, but, you know, I'm guilty of putting a telephone up to my ear and trying to find the three. Usually I have no notes. I've got so many notes I can't find anything, but now the Cancer Society, this is one of my other pet peeves, quote-unquote, showed very little evidence, which doesn't mean no evidence. And it's not a firm answer that these RF or, you know, radio frequency waves can be cancer-causing. That's a study of theirs, but the Cancer Society put it out there. Now, there's at least two tumors. I heard that there were, it seemed like there were three, 3 years ago, but the information I was getting the last couple days, one of them isn't necessarily cancer, but it's a tumor. It's called an acoustic neuroma. And this tumor grows on the nerve that connects the ear to the brain. It doesn't necessarily cause cancer, but it may lead to hearing loss. So, you know, you can go deaf eventually by having a tumor on that nerve that connects your ear to your brain. The other one is called glioma, and this tumor is found in the brain or central nervous system of the body. And then a third is on the thyroid, a tumor on the thyroid, because anywhere when you have your phone touching your ear and you're talking, you know, you're talking into it, it's very close to your throat area. So there seems to be effects. It says scientists are continuing to study the possible health effects of cell phone use. For example, the World Health Organization is currently looking into how cell phones may affect these tumors, sleep, memory, headaches, vision. And so, anyway, the symptoms, it said, the CDC does talk about some of the symptoms most commonly experienced when you have radio frequency sickness, and the symptoms commonly experienced include dermatological symptoms, redness, tingling, burning sensation, as well as neuroasthenic and vegetative symptoms, fatigue, tiredness, concentration difficulties, dizziness, nausea, heart palpitation, and digestive disturbances. And it goes on to say, do cell phones emit radiation? Yes. cell phones use radio frequency radiation, or RF, to send signals. RF is different from other types of radiation like X-rays that we know can be harmful. They say, my pet peeve, we don't know for sure if RF radiation from cell phones can cause health problems till years later. And they gave a number of examples like lead paint, asbestos, cigarettes. For decades, those things were thought to be safe. And they turned out to be potentially deadly with enough exposure or the right kind of exposure if you're susceptible. And that's kind of where we are, really, even though they're debating it. I think that there have been enough studies, and I'll tell you briefly about one in just a minute, but there are enough studies out there because, like I said, we did a show on this 12 years ago, and I went in and saw some of the same videos on YouTube and then looked at ones 6 months ago, 9 months ago, 1 year ago, you know, since we've moved up to bigger, better, faster. And then that thing that I'll go back and read about the one organization that's stopping doing any more research, those kind of things, like I said in the beginning, remind me of the NFL and the COVID vaccine. When I found out today that they removed all of them, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, whatever all the rest of them were, that the original vaccines, and I said this in the first place, and I won't get into politics, and I'll back right off and get back to what I was talking about, but, you know, whenever there's a bunch of studies being done and then they stop, it just tells me that there's been a lot of investment made. The telecommunications industry, the pharmaceutical industry are some of the biggest contributors to our politicians that make these decisions, and they rule all the three-letter organizations, you know, the FDA, the CIA, the FBI, all of these are government organizations. And when funders like that don't want certain information to get out, all of a sudden the studies stop. But anyway, for those that didn't know, and I need to go back because a lot of it was written in medical and legal ease. And what I happened on was a PDF that was instructions to doctors, to providers, about how to phase out all the original vaccines. And it gave the possible Guillain-Barré syndrome, is that how you pronounce that one? Changes in the DNA, heart palpitations. It gave a list of the effects of those vaccines, and they have now taken them off the market in the United States. And that shocked me because what is the news for anyway? I haven't heard it on the news. I haven't read it on the news. My doctor let me get a shot in November, and he didn't mention that he had gotten documentation, you know, the how to dial back and off. Neither did my pharmacy. These vaccines. And one reason is there is a shelf life, just like with the tests, when they're not going to be good anymore. And there's another element to it, not just the possible side effects, because COVID has deadly side effects too. And so it's not just that, but back in May when they said it's no longer a health, public health emergency anymore, that was not true. There's still 5,000 people a day dying of COVID. There are people, the long COVID is slated to be the next largest costing disability. They're already gearing up in the courts to decline long COVID from being a qualifier, because there's going to be so many cases, it's going to cost insurance companies a fortune. But the truth that I read off the thing that goes out to the providers, and then another article, I think it was UC Berkeley. Oh, and then another thing off the Hill, so a couple different sources, is that back when they declared it, they didn't fund it. They didn't have enough funding, or chose not to. Maybe they wanted to throw the funding at wars, you know, a couple wars going on, or I don't know what they decided to spend the money on. But the government no longer wanted to pay for the testing, for the tracking, for the vaccine, for any of that. They don't want to pay for any of it. So you can do it. You know, back before we had, you know, got the free testing kits from the government, I went and bought that Binax one right at the beginning of COVID, and it was $60 for a pack that had two tests in it. And, you know, then later they started giving them out. And, you know, they had places where, remember all those lines that people would be in for, in their car, you know, in the middle of the winter, and when it was 110 degrees in the shade in Arizona, winding cars for people to go and get tests. The government doesn't want to pay for that anymore, so they didn't fund it, which just makes you feel like, what were we doing for 3 years? And now all the people that are coming across the border that, you know, there were so many people that lost their jobs because it was made mandatory. You had to get a vaccine or you couldn't keep your job. You had to get a vaccine or you couldn't do transcontinental flights. And then we adopt a policy that's totally the opposite. Of letting millions of people in that weren't made to get a vaccine, that are coming from places where there's lots of other diseases that we've eradicated, but that are frequent in their area due to no fault of their own. But, you know, things like polio, there's been some cases of polio show up in the States, Ebola show up in the States. I hope not smallpox. But a lot of things we eradicated, and even though we might know, you know, what vaccine or what we used to treat those things, we certainly did not stockpile it if there were a public health emergency, because we eradicated it. So, I don't know. it's very hard to trust. So when these cases, going back to the phones, and I'm just going to shut up about that, it was just new news to me today, because I know a lot of people didn't buy off on the vaccines to begin with, and I was for the standard manufacturer. But is that in the future? I want to talk about in the chat. You said the FDA has established a testing standard for the manufacture of cardiac pacemakers to ensure they are safe from RF. Now, what do you do with the millions of people that have them already? Or say, like, the people that have the clip in their head like me, I'm going to go through a craniotomy again? No. And the millions of people that already have a pacemaker, I guess it would be nice if they improve things in the future, but they should probably wait about 60 years to do that until the rest of us are dead, because I don't think we want to go through that again to facilitate electric cars. I don't know. Or the telephone.
I think that was going to help. Well, not even what I think is going to help. The FDA has suggested some steps that people that are concerned with radiation from cell phones, what are some steps they can take to reduce some of their exposure to the radio frequency radiation? And they stress that, well, certainly reserving the use of cell phones for shorter conversations or times when a landline is not available, that's not really realistic with a lot of the people that use cell phones nowadays. The other thing they suggest is use a device with hands-free technology. We were just talking about that a little bit earlier, such as wired headsets.
Oh, definitely.
Such as wired headsets. I didn't read it correctly.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's okay. Which creates more distance between the phone and the head of the user. I mean, the use of wired or wireless headsets reduces that amount of radiation exposure, and because it's not placed against the head. So don't carry it on your body, on a purse that you have over your shoulder next to your boob.
Or in your pocket next to your reproductive organs,
things like that. Exposure declines dramatically when cell phones are used hands-free, is what the FDA references. So I guess good thing I'm using it hands-free majority of the time.
Well, it really is. And like I said, I'm guilty of grabbing my phone and using it. The only reason I have a landline now is because... And another thing I'd recommend to everybody, especially here at Brain Injury Radio, anyone listening to this show, is not to charge your phone in your room. Don't put your phone on your nightstand and charge your phone. The radiation is wafting over towards your brain. Usually the nightstand isn't that far from the bed. You're kidding, Ron. Welcome to people that have joined us in the chat. I guess they're saying they had some problem getting into the chat room. I don't know why that would be, but happy Valentine's Day and glad you're here. Really? And I just automatically
yeah,
a minute.
Yeah, when I was first trying to get on the chat, like it didn't show up for the first probably half hour of the show.
Okay, that's really weird. Okay, going back just real quick to, I read this book. You were talking earlier about the roses, and I'll lighten things up a minute and tell you a funny story. Back when I was in my house before I met Gary, and we were 45 years old when we got married, so not a youthful marriage. Anyway, I got a book on feng shui for dummies. And when I was younger and before my brain injury and I had a lot more energy, I'd do weird things like decide I didn't like the color of the bedroom, make this snap decision, you know, walk in there right now. Well, not right now, it's too late. But, you know, walk in the morning and decide I didn't like the color of the bathroom or one of the bedrooms. They weren't that big. It was my first house. It was small. And decide to paint it. And I'd get out the ladder and the drop cloth, and I would paint the room. And I was reading some different things in the feng shui book, and one of them was that your bedroom in the back of the house is the most advantageous for sleeping and peace, a restful sleep, because it's not on the side of your house where the traffic is, and there's likely to be more noise. It's likely to be more quiet and calm toward the back of your house. So my bedroom happened to be on the front at that time. And I moved my bedroom to the back, painted it, and then I decided to move my bedroom to the back. Then it said that pink peonies attracted love. And I didn't think a lot about that until one day I was in one of those like Home Good kind of stores, but it was a different kind 100 years ago that was like that, that's no longer in business. And I was checking out, and at the checkout, on the wall behind the checkout, it had all kinds of pictures hanging, and it had this big white framed picture of a vase of pink peonies. And I said, okay. So I bought it. And I hung it on the wall. And I'll drop back to that in 1 second. And the last thing that I took away from that was that the bedroom is for sleeping. There might be something else it's for, but it's for sleeping. So don't put anything that's going to run current, television, telephone, don't put those things in your bedroom. If you want to watch TV, get up and go out in your living room and watch TV or your den or wherever else. And if you're going to charge your phone, do that in a different room. Do not do it on your nightstand where these waves, things with radio waves, are going to be all over the room while you're trying to sleep and rest. So I never have since then had a TV in the bedroom. I leave my phone, and so does Gary, in our respective bathrooms to charge. We don't do that in our bedroom. And that peony thing worked. I met Gary 2 weeks after I bought that picture and hung it on the wall. Oh, the other thing was the rose quartz stone, and I collect rocks and crystals. And I read that a pink rose quartz would also attract love. So, Ron, you got to get yourself some pink peonies and a rose quartz. For anyone out there tonight looking for the love of your life, if you haven't found him, all I can tell you is it worked for me. So I hung the peony picture, moved my bedroom to the back of the house, got a rose quartz stone, I put on my nightstand and didn't have any technology in the bedroom. And that's the way that we've kept it all of this time. You know, and that's another way you can probably more safely. And my answer to, I turn it off because I get pings at all times of day and night, and I don't stay on Facebook, and I don't get notifiers from Facebook or any social media. For me, text pings and telephone pings are enough pings for my brain to process, and they come at, not at 2 or 3 in the morning, but people know that I'm a night owl, and then the people that don't might tend to call too early, but it's as long as my parents, now my mother, would maybe have an emergency in the middle of the night, I'll keep a landline. Because it's been so long since I've picked up that phone during the daytime that anybody that had that number, I don't even remember how to get a message on it anymore. So it would only be good for ringing in the middle of the night if there were an emergency. My cell phone is turned off and charging someplace else. The cordless landline also emits radiation. It's not in the bedroom. It's in the next bedroom over, but I would hear it ring. And it's less apt to ring now. So I still do have a landline. I know a lot of people can't even imagine having a landline, but I will keep one for that period of time. And you know, never charge. It's a good idea to not, while we're talking about safety, not carrying the phone on your body. Using the hands free, using the speaker, getting buds. And there is a... I can upgrade someday, Karen, when my phone breaks, because now they have a part, although it was kind of funny, they do have a part now. The phones no longer have a place for a jack, but the thing that you plug in your phone to charge it, there is a piece you can buy that you plug in there that allows you a jack. So you could use wired buds. But then I started laughing because I mentioned that I have Bose buds. I went to the Bose site and they don't even have wired buds anymore. That's not even a choice from their company. You have to have the Bluetooth buds. But then I went to Amazon, or you can look any place else, and they do still make Skull Candy and Beats and non-label brands, but they get 5 stars from 10,000 people, whatever. They still do make wired earbuds. And, you know, to me, that's never been a problem because I measured it today, because I was looking, Gary has a 7, and I said, I wish you would get one of those pieces. Since I already have a jack, it wouldn't work for me, but I wish you'd get one of those pieces that allows you to get wired buds. And then not against my body, but if I have on a, you know, sweatshirt, jacket kind of a thing, I can put in my earbuds and set the phone on a table next to me or put it in the lower pocket of a jacket. Still, that's still probably not ideal, but it is using wired buds and it's not having it touch my body or be writing next to, you know, my ear or my heart or anything like that. And so it is nice to know that that is available. So if you're somebody with an upgraded phone out there and, you know, this kind of thing does concern you hearing about it, it is possible to get wired buds and not compound the radiation by using Bluetooth buds or putting your phone up to your ear, against your face in your ear. It just looks like there's quite a bit of evidence out there that, you know, these tumors that didn't happen. And you know what was kind of a tell in some of the research? That's why when the Cancer Society said they weren't sure, not absolute evidence, these non-answer answers, you know, that aren't committal, is that they were finding these tumors in young people.
Mm-hmm.
People 13 to 18 years old. And before, they weren't even rarely finding these tumors in older people. And all of a sudden, older people are getting them. But the weirder thing is that kids were getting these tumors. Well, it was the generation that started getting cell phones when they were 8 or 10 years old. And so when the tumors started showing up, I think that made it pretty obvious. And then one story, and I believe it was the Modesto, California area, they had a 5G cell tower right next to the grade school. And an 11-year-old child, young man, got kidney cancer. And that same year, an 8-year-old got brain cancer. And through the course of that year, 4 other kids. One got, did I say kidney cancer? In any case, 4, 5, 6 kids in the course of a year got cancer. That hadn't been the case before, and one of the wise mothers took note of the fact that the 5G cell tower had gone up next to the school a few months before that year started, and all of a sudden these kids started getting cancer from the towers, not necessarily their cell phone, but the towers. So we got two elements. We're looking at the phone itself and then the towers that are everywhere. Again, that convenience you were talking about, so that we can use our cell phone anywhere. We're seeing them out in the middle of cornfields now, but attached to office buildings, standing on their own. There's one right next to the gas station a couple blocks from our house. We know what the usual cell towers look like. There's another kind that's just kind of tubular looking up at the top. When you go up the pole, it's like a tubular looking thing. That's a 5G tower. And they've attached those things to buildings and put them in between buildings. There's just a 5G tower everywhere. And one of the statistics I heard was that it only takes 1,000 hours of use with that phone up against your ear, which is about 17 minutes a day, to increase your risk of any of these health issues that we were talking about. That was done, that study was done at Cal Berkeley. It was redone at Yale. 1,000 hours of use equals 17 minutes a day, increases the risk of head or neck tumors by 60%. And this was a study done a year ago.
That's really fascinating. What I know about the 5G is that it's certainly, like you said, to help connect or increase connectivity everywhere for really any kind of device that is newer. For example, when you're looking at smart homes, 5G is also used during traffic safety, you know, the lights and things, just different things in, around traffic and transportation. Critical infrastructures use RF technology and 5G. Industry processes, even really very high-speed media delivery, you know, getting news faster, some of that real-time, the real-time notifications, and, you know, that comes from, that's being streamed more through 5G, I started to say 5G, and it accelerates the development of the Internet, you know, of things. However, a lot of people don't even realize what kind of things radio frequency or RF utilizes within their home that are just common things they wouldn't think about. So, for example, coffee pots.
Yeah.
A lot of those use RF technology. Wristwatches. Cash registers. So you're exposed to it just going to a grocery store, you know, or anywhere that uses a cash register, even a bank. You know, if you go to deposit your money or withdraw money, I mean, you're going to have some exposure there to RF technology as well. But their security systems are, a lot of those security systems in banks or in places that use electronic security use RF-type technology. Even your own personal computers, laptops, tablets, printers, telephones, not just cell phones, but house phones, garage door receivers, you know,
router,
wireless temperature probe receivers, and even something as benign that you wouldn't think of, like a universal remote control. Universal remote controls use RF technology. And there's literally thousands of other types of just really common electronic or electrical equipment that relies on that digital technology or that RF technology that we're referring to. You know, television, sound systems, lighting, just, you know, common home environment controls that you're not even thinking of, that you're being exposed to certain levels of radiation and frequency, air fryers, microwaves, things like that. So just things that you may not even think of, or when you think of RF technology related to cell phones, it's not just in cell phones that you're getting exposed to this technology.
No, and that's why I think it's good to mitigate the damage, because none of
these,
they're not talking about it. So we've talked about some of the things you can do with your cell phone, for example, to get less risk from that. You pretty much have to have a router if you're going to have Wi-Fi, but you might not want to put it by where you sleep or in an area. You might think more of placement in your house. Again, the one takeaway on some of these, and there's a bunch of videos on YouTube about this type of thing, when they're measuring, taking a RF reader, Geiger counter kind of thing, the further away you are from it, the better. So you're right. There's inherent risk in a ton of stuff. Some stuff, we can do away with it, or we can think of placement. And if it's something, you know, let's say we keep our router on a table right next to us, but you could put it up high. We have a shelf between our two desks. I told you they're both in the same room. A really high bookshelf. And now the router's up there instead of closer, you know, and it's got a picture in front of it, a stand-up canvas. And just thinking of placement, you know, not charging your cell phone or having the other phone in the bedroom, it not touching you. The microwave we really don't use. I'd say 4 times a year, maybe, to heat something up. We use the microwave. Some of those things you were talking about, I still get groceries delivered, so I'm not by a cash register. I go through the drive-thru at the bank. That's just me, and, you know, COVID started that, but there's no way you can escape the risk because they've got everything running on this stuff now, which potentially, you know, can be a public health hazard. But what you can do on your own, you can't change the system, but you can change your amount of utilization. And you can think about placement and how often you're using some of the things. And some of it is just unavoidable. That's, you know, probably one of the reasons we have one of the higher cancer rates than a lot of other countries. We've got, of course, a lot of them are catching up now, but there's a lot of places that you don't see all of these conveniences that we have. You know, people don't have a microwave. People don't have cell phone towers. You know, they don't have a lot of the things that you mentioned. That's why they're coming here. They get the pleasure and the risk, you know, that goes along with it. But where they were coming from, it was a little safer than they thought, maybe, because they just didn't have some of those risks. But, yeah, it's what you said in the beginning. It's a tough proposition because everything is streaming on Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or radio frequency of some kind, so we can't avoid it. But I didn't, like I said, I really didn't like Musk's answer, and I like him just fine one way or another. It doesn't matter to me in general as a person, so it's not like that. But when I heard his answer on something in an interview, and he basically just said it doesn't matter, it's like, you know, if there's 5 things, 10 things, 2 dozen things that are detrimental to our health, what difference does another two dozen make? And I don't think that that's a very good answer. It's how to walk it back and make some of those things safer so that we can have the convenience, or we readjust and have a little less convenience, things a little bit safer. Because, you know, when kids, I won't go into a soapbox, we only have about 20 minutes left, but, you know, when I used to do shows and still do that talk about you know, veteran shows and the 22 a day committing suicide. Social media has fueled the age 9 to 14 group of kids into depression, anxiety, suicide, bullying, wrinkles, a furrow in their brow using Botox when they're 17, you know, because they're squinting in front of the phone and spending too much time on the phone, getting them young and starting to get cancers, you know, in their late teens or early 20s because of usage, then I think that sounds like kind of a trite answer to say, well, that's just the way the whole world is right now. And then the last thing I'll say on this, because it's a totally different topic, but, you know, it's while we're talking about adding things, the windmills. You know, I've been seeing these stories about the, what is it, whiteback whale? They're beautiful whales, and they're on the verge of they're distinguished, on the verge of extinction. There's like 300 of them left, and there were things like, you know, boats or container barges that they would run into, legitimate reasons. But since they started putting wind farm tunnels out in the ocean, the sonar, both from mapping the ocean floor for where to put the tunnels, which makes a really loud noise. They played the noise, and for anybody with brain injury that gets sensory overload, that noise would just drive you out of your mind. But then once they're in, it's not only the boring and the mapping, but once they're in already, then these whales, their mating call and their call to their young all has to do with sound. And that sonar messes up their sound. Anyway, they've been washing up New Jersey, I guess, is the place. It's happening, though, in Australia and some places out of country. But New Jersey, in the last few months, has had a really disproportionate amount of these beautiful big whales washing up dead on the beach. And it's in proximity to putting big windmill farms in the ocean. And they've talked about the same thing with the windmill farms out in the middle of the cornfield. Birds, their internal GPS is getting confused. Bats, I think, and is it bats and bees? Anyway, a couple of them flying into these towers. And if you talk to people who happen to, it's not their farmland, you know, they're not the farmer that got paid handsomely for a windmill, but they're the neighbor that lives with these with these windmills right next to their window. They're out on what used to be their quiet country porch, hearing a constant 24/7 buzzing sound that just drives them nuts. And they try to move because they can't stand it. And their house value is nobody wants to move there. They lose money on their house or their stuck there.
Mm.
Oh, hello. I see a couple of people have joined us in the chat. Hello, Hatter and new person, long name. Okay, who wants to try to pronounce that?
Shabbaton.
Did you have a question? What did you say?
I said Shabbaton.
Ah, okay. I didn't have my readers on. Did you have a question? As far as if I'm taking calls, we've got 14 minutes left in the show. If you had a question or a comment, 424-243-9540. If it's a quick question, yes, I can take it. And I'm sorry that I didn't see you before. Hatter, it's great to see you. And Ron, you haven't fallen asleep yet. In any case, if you do have a question, you feel free to call in and welcome to the show. 424-243-9540. Oh, good. That must be Las Vegas. I'm just guessing. That is Sin City, right? Someone who agrees in the chat room here that the RF frequencies are very damaging to the biosphere. And thank you and welcome.
Well,
welcome
the human body
to the show.
The human body does absorb energy from devices that emit that radio frequency radiation. And the only consistent recognized biological effect that a lot of the scientific community agrees on is that the greatest radiation absorption in humans is that through their skin. And that is represented by the heating of the body. So if you're laying your phone, for example,
yeah,
on your body, and you feel your body heating up in that area, then you're basically feeling that radiation penetrate you, essentially, and you need to remove that from your body, is what they're advising. However, the heating they're saying that the heating is not sufficient to measurably increase core body temperature. However, they're still stating there's no clearly established dangerous health effects on the human body from RF frequency, but then you have other scientific communities saying that there are medical effects that are happening as far as the RF frequency. So it goes back to what you were saying at the very beginning of the show, where there's so much inconsistency just within the scientific and the medical communities themselves about RF frequency. And certainly I'm sure that we'll see as time goes on that a lot of that contribution to that differential is due to the politics and money involved in that.
Yes, definitely. Because, for example, this says the FDA hasn't linked EMFs definitively. I love that, definitively, to any kind of cancer. But one of the videos I watched, 250 scientists, environmental scientists from around the country got together. They're not working for the government or any government agency. And the 250 scientists signed off on studies they were involved in their universities or their research labs that did show definitively and absolutely that the percentage risk of one of these health issues coming up because of these things were 100%. And our guest, cell phone frequencies are the second highest point of the electromagnetic spectrum next to gamma rays. Look at the series, yeah, of The Incredible Hulk. The way the guy on the video put it is you wouldn't put your head in the microwave. And we've all seen things maybe that we shouldn't put didn't know we couldn't put in the microwave, blow up in the microwave, and that's what that excessive heat and radiation does. So I appreciate your comments, guests. I hope you'll come back again. And yes, Sin City in Las Vegas, and I bet they do have a lot of 5G towers there, as well as everywhere. I'm in the middle of the country in the Midwest, and they're all through cornfields. You know, I love having the coverage, too. You know, if my car was going to break down out in one of these country drives I take, I'm glad I'd be able to call someone to come and tow me away. On the other hand, when you're out in the countryside, you know, leaving the city on purpose to feel the peace and look at the quiet countryside, and you come over a hill, you know, in the summer when there's corn out there and it's green and the trees and the cows dotting the hills, and it's, you know, the perfect painting of the countryside. And then you come over the hill and there's 100 windmill farm with 3 5G towers right next to it. You know, they could have made something a little more aesthetically kind. You know, it's not only potentially harmful to health, but aesthetically it really ruins a good picture, I got to tell you.
Well,
you know,
the
picture of the cows dotting the field.
The Federal Aviation Administration even warned that 5G interference could affect altitude readings on some airplanes or jets, including interfering with their altimeters. You know, and that's what measures how far above the ground a plane is flying. You know, that's kind of important. And in 2020, the Nonprofit Radio Technical Commission for Aeronautics published research detailing how this interference could, in worst-case scenarios, lead to some dangerous malfunctions in private and commercial airlines. So really important reason to be able to have people comply with turning off their phones when they're on airplanes. But, you know, it goes beyond that. I mean, we're even talking about the belief that 5G creates a cybersecurity risk, which of course is a complicated topic because 5G uses a lot more information and than previous technologies. So since it's using more information without that prior history of using that technology, that leaves more room for errors, more room for loopholes, and for hackers to be able to get in and things like that. And it becomes a challenging, especially like you've seen an influx of hacking going on with banks or with hospitals even. And a lot of those organizations use a lot of RF technology or are switching to 5G, and that's leaving them vulnerable. So because of those concerns, the Department of Homeland Security has developed a set of strategic standards, hopefully designed to mitigate some of those risks that are developing with the advancement of that technology. So while concerns regarding hackers using 5G to steal data or steal people's identities, you know, or too many people texting while they're on a plane at the same time, while those concerns are valid, when it comes to the potential effects on our health, you know, those kinds of things are kind of make people take pause and be a lot more aware and interested about what's going on and what exactly does the evidence show. And having some information that's not so inconsistent would be really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the other thing that you reminded me of is drones. When you were talking about the whole air industry, there's really some, we don't have time to go into all that, but the same thing, you know, drones added a whole nother layer to that, because the same kind of things that you're talking about in that frame of reference are true also about many aspects of the drones. So, and just for your information in there, it says the host is Craig Cecilia. Somehow he got that to stick instead of Brain Injury Radio. And so this is your regular Wednesday host, Kim Justice. I'm here every Wednesday night. I am not Craig Cecilia. He's here sometimes. But anyway, we're down to 3 minutes. Oh, and as long as you said that, our new guest talking about the drones, I never did read the article, and I'm not going to now, about the research that was stopping why the NIH abruptly halted research on the harms of cell phone radiation. We can speculate on that. But one of the things it did mention in here is that Department of Defense continues to study this problem. Huh. Now, why would that be? I've got another article I don't have time to read, but a good friend, he's in Finland, never met, but been a guest here more than once, Dr. Adrian Harrell. I flipped to his page to post the show to promote it, and he had microwave-based weapons on the battlefield. Happened to be the top post. And I was going to post this show on his page, and I didn't, because his post talked about the government and microwave-based weapons playing a pivotal role in electronic warfare. By emitting focused microwaves, these weapons can effectively disable or disrupt enemy radar systems, communication networks, and electronic sensors. This capability can provide friendly forces with a substantial advantage by incapacitating or confusing the enemy's technology infrastructure. I can't read the rest of the article, but I can tell you that Medicortex, M-E-D-I-C-O-R-T-E-X, Medicortex, if you Google that organization or Dr. Adrian Harrell, H-A-R-E-L, or you look that up on LinkedIn, you can read the article on how the government is using microwave-based weapons on the battlefield, but domestic agencies, a lot of them involved with the government, want to stop doing any research on things like cell phones and 5G towers and matters of public health. So thank you so much, Karen, for being here tonight. And all of you who are here tonight, appreciate meeting our new friend in the chat. Great to see Hatter. Great to see Ron. Great to see Craig, even though he's not here. I appreciate you, listeners, always. Karen, happy Valentine's Day. Everybody, happy Valentine's Day, but happy anniversary to Karen also. And I wish we could talk about it longer. But come back again, our new friend, Shabakas. And anything you have left to say before I say goodnight? Karen.
Oh, just happy Valentine's Day to you and our listening audience. And we wish you just a lot of love, safety, and joy and peace.
All right. With that, God, this time I was writing Happy Thanksgiving in the chat. Okay, must be getting tired. Good night and God bless everybody. Glad to be here. I'm just going to play out with Find My Voice. Hopefully carefully on that cell phone, right? We'll see you next week. I don't have my book. I'm not sure who our guest is, but I will be here. Good night.
Question never seems to change. Are you with them or are you with us? And if it's true, I am not ashamed. There shouldn't be much to discuss. But for every answer that draws you near, there is an answer that will make you run. And as long as identity remains unclear, the coward will give the easy one. We can be automatic, carefully diplomatic. I need courage to speak my choice. Now that it's been a while since my courtyard denial, I am still trying to find my voice. I am still trying to find my voice. My brother is waiting to believe. We all love him just the same. There are gifts we both receive under the same sun and rain. I can't speak out of stillness, but I'm waiting to fill this space with courage to make my choice. How can we preach salvation from our own isolation? I am trying to find my voice. I am just trying to find my voice. Maybe we all have a role to play. Maybe this is my inauguration day. Maybe the answers that I see will not be revealed until I speak. Will not be revealed until I speak. Finally getting used to my own skin. Never knew I would come this far. When you get too good at fitting in, it's hard to tell who you really are. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time. Time to find my voice.
I think since I'm in overtime, I'm going to go ahead and play a couple other songs. I haven't gotten a chance to do that for a little while, and it is Valentine's Day. That was Daniel Christian. You can find him at danielchristianmusic.com. Find my voice. This is Chesser Grin. What makes you holy? What makes you holy?
What was I to do? I couldn't live without somebody standing by my side. Everything was beautiful then. Slipped away. Thank you.
That was Chesser Grin with What Makes You Holy. And I think I'll just play one more since it is Valentine's Day, somebody that I haven't played for a long time. A lot of my wonderful artists I haven't played for a long time. Had some great guests. Lots of talk. Not time for music, but this is Ari Moore, and I'm going to play Stay With Me. She's got, to me, and I'm old enough to remember, she kind of reminds me of being kind of Janis Joplin-esque, but in a different way. Her sister is also with a pretty famous rock band, but Ari Moore music, Stay With Me. And Duke, Stay With Me every Wednesday night. This will be it, and then I'll be signing off. Enjoy.
Stay with me. I need a friend, someone to help my mind and brain. Stay with me. The night is cold. My heart is weak, but my fear is bold. Cover me, hold me tight. No need for love, just gave me through the night. Just stay a while, watch me sail. I just need for you to stay with me. Stay with me, I want a small house. But if I tremble, let me feel your touch. Stay with me. Help me unwind the conversation twisting in my mind. Call for me. Hold me tight. No need for love. Just get me through the night. Stay wild. Watch me. Watch me sleep. I just need for you to stay with me. Yeah.